Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You're listening to the sonorous tones of myself, Spencer Hall, on the internet's only college football podcast. I am joined tonight, as always, by my co-host, Jason Kirk. Jason, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. See, I threw to you, and I remembered it.
I caught it. I received it. But here's the thing. We're running an option, so now I'm going to pitch it. Because we are joined tonight by two very special guests. We are joined by Holly Anderson and Ryan Nanny. Hey, everybody. Welcome
Hello,
aboard.
Guests. Hey, good evening. It's a thrill to be here.
Wait, which one of us are you throwing it to? Who's the B-back?
There's two football. You dropped the ball.
Shit.
We went multi-ball.
Multi-ball.
Like Liberty University.
And we're off. Also like Liberty University.
Also like Liberty University.
Who is the most carefree, untroubled soul on the Liberty University campus this week?
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh, I know we've suggested this before. I know you search your name, so you're going to hear this. This would be a really excellent time to do some crimes.
You know what's great is somebody on that campus has received an invitation to, like, a cookout or whatever, thrown by Hugh Freeze and Jerry Falwell, and they didn't go. And now they're thinking, like, was that? That wasn't. But what? Was it?
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, they're thinking, wow, I missed on a really rowdy time with the president of Liberty University.
Okay. When you find out somebody in your social circle has gone multiple or are swingers, then there's an audit your brain undertakes of every single social interaction one has ever had with these people. And thought,
and for the most part, this is silly because for the most part, you, and I'm speaking to the listeners, are not that attractive.
That's the thing.
Wow.
That's the thing. I've had this conversation with other people that go, yeah, I don't know. We knew this couple.
No, this
and one
is
time.
Just, this is just a version of discovering that your friend is gay and being like, oh, do you want to fuck me? No, you're not that hot.
Jerry Falwell's not that attractive.
Yeah. But Hugh Freeze is incredibly attractive.
No. Oh, dear God.
That's
no.
What I thought this week, that Hugh Freeze heard about all this and went, well,
like
yeah,
if
that
he
is.
Microwaved a cartoon beaver. Oh,
yeah, that
shit,
he thought.
I did it again. Sorry.
That he thought, well.
Sexy,
you know.
Buc-ee's presents.
Oh, God.
Hey, hang on. Hugh Freeze. He looks like Fuc-ee's.
Let's talk about Buc-ee's nuggets.
Good. Oh, goodness. This
you
went so wrong.
It. Hey,
guess
I
we're
picked
coming
up the ball and ran with it.
In Sorry, the what? Corner.
Oh, God. Oh, no. No.
Oh, yes.
That is, he did literally
oh
run.
Oh, my. Oh, hell yes.
Hugh he did literally
put
run
on that party dress.
God. He did literally run the corner route against man coverage, didn't he?
I'm just glad more teams
it was,
run on the triple.
It was cover one.
I think that's zone coverage. I think he understands, like, hey, linebacker stays down in the box. I stay high.
I appreciated the reader who referred to this as the Tampa 3.
Running levels. Option routes galore.
All right, we got that out of our systems? Absolutely
no,
not.
No, we did not. Nah. Oh. I did think this week, though,
and
that the amusing thing would...
And neither did Jerry Falwell. Oh.
I did think this week, though, that Hugh Freeze heard about this and thought, well, you know, that is an exciting situation.
Why is he Mac Brown when he's horny?
It is. No, he...
Aren't
no,
we
Hugh
all,
Freeze,
brother?
Hugh Freeze always... Hugh Freeze does that thing where he's like, I'm such a lunatic and so deeply crazed and sad that I have to slow down my talking.
Well, they both leave early.
Wow.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Yeah. I'd
love being a guest on this podcast.
Goodness. What a start. What a start to the football season for the Liberty Flames that the president of the university has, one, been accused by somebody of being recruited to be the third in their couple, which, you know, hey, if you do that, that's cool. It's not necessarily cool if that's against the bylaws of a university and you're just out there, you know, doing it yourself. And also you're the son of the founder of the Moral Majority, et cetera. Built your whole empire on this.
It's not really cool if it's against the bylaws of your university, but it's incredibly funny if you've based your career on yelling at other people for doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Or potentially been blackmailed into endorsing a presidential candidate because of it. Anyway.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to the medical device fraud yet portion of this, but that's another story for another day, and we'll bring on Brian Floyd to tell you all about it.
Additionally, that in all of this, that Hugh Freeze, man, how many years does Hugh Freeze have at Liberty now? If he's just trauma free, if he's just drama free, doesn't do anything. Like three?
How much longer can he stick around there?
Yeah, if he's just quiet, he's just chill.
No, this probably a long time.
He doesn't want to stick around there. This is his rehab tour.
Oh wait, are you asking how long? How much? I'm gonna regret this. How much leash does he have?
Mm. Yeah,
I told you I'd regret it. Told you.
That is an exciting situation.
Was there any circumstance in which he would have gotten in trouble before, like regardless of what he was up
to?
Yeah.
It's already absolute anarchy. How much?
I mean, if
how much wilder can it possibly get?
If he'd shown his support for Black Lives Matter, he might have gotten in trouble.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just throwing that out there.
That is, it boggles the mind when I really try to pack it all in. That didn't come out right.
God!
It is so difficult to talk about Liberty University.
If there's one thing
neither
I've
one of you
learned...
said come again, and that's... yeah.
If there's one thing I've learned through listening to the past 36 hours of these jokes, is that we need to rename several football concepts.
Disagree.
No. Mm-mm. There are so many sexy football concepts. Route combos alone. Smash. Smash! Yeah, when you got cover two,
we haven't even
smash.
Gotten to the flex bone jokes.
Not even. The dive man? I enjoy football jokes put over to sex jokes. That's my favorite direction of these.
What I'm excited about is that some people let their children listen to this podcast. And I know this already happened, but I know at some point they've like...
Tom Crean listened to this podcast.
Oh, that was on accident.
Yeah.
They've had to like dive for the radio dial in the car. Oh God. Must stop.
Now, we've been doing this for going on a decade. This is now your fault.
So the way I see it is we cannot be blamed for the existence of Liberty University.
No, we cannot.
What are we going to do? Not talk about Liberty University? It's not our fault it exists.
No.
Fair.
And let's
we have
face
done
it.
Our best to undo that, personally.
And let's face it, if we, the full cast, are over here doing our dirty business, and you're over in the corner listening.
Be clear, so far in this episode, we have told our listeners they're not attractive, and they are Jerry Falwell.
I didn't say that. I think jacking they're gorgeous. I think they're all beautiful.
But you agree that they're jacking it in the corner.
Look, I tried to call them fuckable one time, business. And y'all remember how that went.
Our readers, please, have a diverse skill set, are very, very, they're multiple, so to speak. And I have no doubt that some may be in the corner, some may be in the thick of it, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's fine. They're capable of a lot of things. They're wonderful people, and we thank them for listening, or participating and listening,
I just
whatever
don't,
they may be doing.
Why are we mad at Jerry Falwell for social distancing? I thought we were supposed to.
Oh, he's about to get socially distanced.
I got to tell you one other thing. I bet you he had a mask on.
Fidelio.
Now, it was a mask of Ronald Reagan's face, but...
Oh,
boy. Hi, you can reach me at ryan.nanny@sbnation.com.
Nobody emails me anymore. It's fine.
Win one for the Gapper.
God. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Would you like to hear a truly alarming thing?
I guess that's the point, yeah.
Yeah, let's start right now.
College football, if my notes are right, is going to be played a week from Thursday.
No.
Yep.
it ain't happening.
There are two games on the schedule.
Hang on, let's back it up. Back it up a little. Back it up is already.
Let's see. We are
claimed so far. So this Saturday, in fact, Austin P versus Central Arkansas. Division One football on ESPN.
This is all right. ESPN didn't have that on their schedule.
I'm looking at LSUfootball.net. It's
extremely frustrating.
But I thought what you were getting at is emotionally on the calendar right now, we should be looking to see which Thursday night Georgia State football contest we are going to attend. You know, which early season Kennesaw State games we're going to try to get together for, and kind of glance with dread to see, oh, Jesus, who's South Carolina got in week one? Like, that is where our body clocks should be at this time.
I mean, the good news is South Carolina doesn't have anybody in week one or week two.
That's terrific. Thank God.
Or week three. And that leads me to the very funny thing that I discovered today. So the AP poll, the preseason AP poll came out. And I will preface this by saying that I have mostly been converted to Jason's view of the AP poll, which is that while it is not necessarily a useful in-season tool, it is a helpful historical measurement. Because it's one of the few that sort of like exists mostly unchanged across multiple decades. This year, however, it's totally useless.
Wait, you mean like the parameters of the poll are mostly unchanged, or you mean that USC is always ranked no matter what?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
It's standardized across era, and like basically nothing in college football besides the AP poll is. And also, right. If you look at the end of the season, one of the best predictors as to which teams were good is the preseason AP poll. Like, we complain about it every year, but it's pretty good.
So this
except
year,
for 2020.
This year, it's going to be
when half
of
the teams
bad.
Are not going to play football.
Yeah, so the AP has done an interesting thing with the preseason poll. They ranked a bunch of teams. I think 9 teams are in the top 25 that are not playing, Big Ten and Pac-12 teams. And they've put asterisks on them, and they've said, after the game start...
Ain't the first time for some of y'all.
After the game start, these teams are not going to be ranked anymore. So immediately they've said, there's going to be massive upheaval. But here's the funny part.
This is the AP's version of basically saying, don't at us.
Right.
Like right
now.
So
you have... So here's what the AP preseason poll has. It has, like I said, I think 9 teams that aren't playing at all. It has 7 SEC teams, none of whom are playing until what's basically week 4, September 26th. So there's going to be a long stretch of the season where, like, LSU and Alabama and Georgia are all 0-0. And these are teams that are in, like, the top 10, top 15 right now. But, like, they have to do something with them. And it's normally there is a little bit of a gap. Like, not everybody starts on week 0. Not everybody even necessarily starts on week 1. But this is like, you're talking about a month where the poll is going to keep coming out. And you're going to see, like, number 2, Alabama, 0-0 after week 3. It's going to be great. And people are going to, like, people will be mad at it already.
You're looking forward to the point in time where Alabama is not being dropped after some quality wins or losses by other teams, despite not playing a game yet.
Yes. I think
that is going to be fun.
So it'll either be that, or because, like, if it were just group of 5 teams playing early, maybe they just say, well, yeah, we don't really care about you and we don't pay attention to you anyway. And this is the most transparent way we can make that happen. But because the Big 12 and the ACC will have gotten going, like, Texas Tech might be might say, you know, we're 2-0 and Texas A&M 0-0. How the hell are we still behind them? What do we have to do here? And they might jump them at that point. And then Texas A&M is going to be furious.
This is kind of a semi-throwbacky thing. I'm trying to find a good old season with rankings like this where, like, there was a 0-0 team in week 2 or 3 that was in the top 10.
19-8.
We're getting a bunch of weird old shit all at once. Yeah. Like, some teams playing 2-game schedules. Yeah, we did that in the 1880s, you know? And, like, some teams getting started in August and others getting started in October. Like, we have done that sometimes.
There,
like, all of our worst ideas are happening at once.
There are a couple teams that have, like, double opponents, right?
Is
like
there
the thing Liberty
for this
did with
in like
Mexico
the hurricane
State.
Seasons?
No, because then you mostly just get like one game dropped,
yeah,
or like moved or whatever, and okay. It doesn't end up being a huge delta.
Cool.
Yeah, that just like screws UCF out of a noteworthy opponent. That's the only outcome of the.
All I'm hearing, by the way, is that Austin Peay, this is your moment.
That's right.
Let's do it.
Central Arkansas is somehow playing. Let's see the Central Arkansas schedule. So not only are they playing Austin Peay to open the season, and they might close the season as well. They also have the first FBS game of the year against UAB. Also, their dumbasses decided to play North Dakota State. If I'm not,
oh no,
yes, that's
why.
That's,
don't
that's
do
correct.
That.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Let's
that's
go.
True.
And
let's
not only,
go.
Not, don't
they're
do
also
that.
Playing. They're also playing Arkansas State. Not an awesome idea. They're going to the wood chipper to play North Dakota State. Trey Lance's only game of the year.
That's like, right. That's
Trey,
the best
Trey
part.
Lance has millions of dollars on the line. Trey Lance has millions of reasons to destroy Central Arkansas. These folks love football. Central Arkansas, you are the football-lovingest people on earth.
My favorite right now is Air Force has two games on the schedule. They're in the Mountain West. The Mountain West is canceled. Air Force said, we're going to do some stuff anyway. They play, I think, Navy first in early October. I'm going to double check that. And then they play Army. And that's it. Those are the only
And then they play Navy again. Then they play Army. And then they play Navy. And then they play Army.
October 3rd, Navy.
There better be a commemorative War Games poster made out of this.
November 7th, Army. That's it. And Army and Navy, like Army has like 9 home games at this point or something.
Ryan, have you looked at the calendar? Does it say November 7th Army football game, or are we into some Jade Helm shit again?
It doesn't specify.
You know, it really does. Like looking at LSU football, like basically after the first couple days in November, there's just nothing, which that could be accurate.
Oh, that's chilling. Yeah. Home field apparel.
Liberty University is a school that is not sold by Home Field Apparel because Home Field Apparel only sells incredibly comfortable collegiate. Are we doing the ad right now?
We're already in it. We started it.
Yeah. Look, the offer code FULLCAST at homefieldapparel.com. 20% off. Slippery Rock.
Hold on, I want to go find...
Upon this slippery rock, we can build a church.
Upon this slippery rock...
It looks like somebody's beating us to it.
Just slide all over the place.
So, okay, here it is. So, Home Field is doing Big New Saturday every Saturday. From now for, like, the next 4 or 5 months, it's a long time. They have a lot of schools lined up that they're announcing. They're doing... a top 7. I assume that's because the Twitter graphic won't hold more than that, or maybe they just don't feel like counting. I'm not going to fault them for that.
I think they've only done 7, right?
Is that true?
7 like that. Is sacred in numerology, Ryan. Please don't bring it up again.
I apologize.
As far as the big new series goes.
Okay. So they're doing rankings of how many, what the total sales are for each team on its launch day, just on the Saturday that it launches. If Big New Saturday had a college football playoff, your top 4 teams would be Pitt, Virginia Tech, UConn, and Slippery Rock.
I would watch this playoff.
It would be excellent. More teams are coming. They've basically already tipped like at least one that's coming. But there are schools that I think we all know are coming that should challenge, I think, for at least that top 4.
Oh, if the second SEC school that I've heard is accurate, it's going to be a barn burner.
There's
at least
right?
one coming that, God, if they don't beat Slippery Rock, then there's a problem.
I agree. But that said, I don't, like, are they going to put up UConn numbers?
No one has ever said that in the positive sense ever.
Do any of these programs have the national reach and love that our idiot football show has put behind UConn?
Not that I can think of.
Are any of them even a Pitt, dare I say?
I mean, Pitt's
Pitt's number one. That's the top of the mountain, buddy.
Yeah, Pitt's the final boss here. If you can't beat UConn, you got a problem. I don't care. Slippery Rock, I'm not taking it in as an excuse. We're FCS. I don't care. So is UConn.
We can say this now. The Pitt deal is the reason we started recording episodes again.
Yep.
I really want to, and thank Hail Pitt for that, always. However, I would say this. I would laugh if that SEC program debuted beat Pitt's record, and then Pitt had a sudden resurgence the following Saturday, even without an announcement. And people just showed up, and they're like, no, we got to put the king back on the throne.
It's Pitt day two.
It's Pitt day two.
I think technically this would have to involve time travel, but Pitt has done it before. Pitt will do it again.
So, yeah, you keep an eye out for big news Saturday. You use the offer code FULLCAST. That gets you 20% off.
In the meantime, you can already buy a shirt that has a rock wearing a fur coat.
Yeah. You can buy that. There are several Yukon Husky, Sad Husky options. There's also like they have what I call Farrah Fawcett Husky, which is sort of like the big, more blown out look like that.
It's like, deeply sad that I know exactly what you mean, even though
I
haven't seen
it. Yeah.
Yep.
It's the full big blowout one, and it is very Fawcett esque.
And then there's the Virginia Tech Classic, Horse on a Treadmill.
Horse.
I'm not making that up.
I know, it's the running, yeah.
That's with the pals over at the Key Play.
Horse on a treadmill.
Horse on a treadmill. Horse on a treadmill.
That kind of fits into the shutdown full cast theme. Horse on a treadmill.
Man, it's a big horse and he's running the lot.
Sorry, I started that way too high.
It's okay. We'll go with you.
Is this where we reveal the mistaken identity that you experienced recently, Holly?
No. Okay. Yeah. Apologies. Go ahead. I'll let you tell it.
You're the one. It's your story. I can't take it from you.
No, that's the point. I have to let you tell it because who will know the difference?
God damn it.
Like, if I tell it, it's mean.
What's the I don't know the context.
Someone say it.
The context is I have just spent the past week in Tennessee helping my parents move, and at one point I had the full cast Golf Disasters episode playing while I was packing a box, and my mom rolled through and said something like, "That never happened to you." And I said, "What?" And she said, "That thing you just said, Ryan was telling a story."
Got a lady voice.
My own mother. Or, I mean, do I have... Am I a tenor?
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, I'm not sure which one of us should be more affronted, but thanks, Mom.
It's definitely me, and that's fine.
Why do I imagine that when Ryan eventually opens his mouth to sing karaoke with me listening, he's going to have a thunderous basso? He's going to sound
I have terrible news. You're going to be so disappointed.
No, you're going to sound like the lead singer of Interpol. Hello! Just firm. I do have other Ryan Nanny news. A rewatch of The Sopranos has reminded me that
The Sopranos.
Dude, AJ's a dead ringer for you in middle
God
school.
God damn it.
Oh man. Has Ryan not suffered enough in the last like 3 minutes?
It's there. And I gotta say, it's not entirely unflattering. Occasionally, you know, like you look at him and you're like, it's gonna be a handsome young man there.
Wait, you just got through watching the episodes where AJ has a Slipknot jacket. Are you sure it's not entirely unflattering?
I'm buying Ryan a Slipknot jacket is what I wanted to say. This is
not available at Homefield.
Like the kind at Hot Topic, right?
Oh, no, this is some sort of special order shit, dude. It's
we're getting Ryan into new metal is what I'm hearing.
Oh, getting him in. Been in, son.
That man's from Tampa.
He's got a requirement in high school.
He's got a Deftones tramp stamp.
Let's ease off
God,
the Deftones.
God, dude.
Here. The Deftones are the unslanderable of those bands.
They are very good. I do have, by the way, one reject golf story that was not submitted to us, but that could have fit in the episode and was brought to our attention. It is from a Twitter user named Jeff Jacques, aka GIF of the Magi. And the story is, once my dad was golfing. And note that my dad is not typically a teller of tall tales. And he hit a seagull with his ball full-on Randy Johnson style. The seagull dropped onto the fairway, at which point a raccoon darted out of the bushes, grabbed the gull, and dragged it away.
He's been there, yeah. This raccoon knows the deal.
So is this a golf gull or a golf raccoon situation?
Golf raccoon.
Yeah.
Golf raccoon. Yeah, golf raccoon's just waiting. He's like, listen, these people are idiots. They do things all the time that benefit me personally. I'm going to wait in the bushes and just see what happens. It's a great business model. It is an incredible business model.
Yeah, and Correct. I'm going to place the seagull in the category as Golf Fox from the past episode. That seagull was a dead relative. If not before, then surely now.
Sure.
That last thought, I bet the seagull was like, oh, God, what a humiliating way to go. At least I'm not going to be eaten by a raccoon. No! No.
Home Field Apparel.
Homefieldapparel.com. By the way, I'm not finished talking about Liberty.
Oh, God.
Terrific.
All right. Are you talking about Liberty football?
Being not finished, of course. This is the infamous Liberty condition. So, obviously, you know, we've had our fun making the puns, and that'll probably continue indefinitely. Liberty as a university, are they off the hook just because Jerry Falwell is gone? No. No, of course not. Never. No. You made this bed and you will lay in it. You will not go sit in the corner and watch what's happening in this bed. You will lay in it.
And watch the game from the press box.
You will watch from the bed in the press box. There was one thing. So Falwell, when he finally accepted that he was being replaced by a younger man as the president of Liberty University, it'll be a man. Come on. He delivered a Martin Luther King quote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is incredibly awkward for a billion reasons. The quote was, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Hooray, he's no longer the president at Liberty. The reason he knows this quote is because Liberty University in the 80s, he attended there in 84, he went to law school there in 87. In 1987 at Liberty University, DC Talk, the Christian rap/rock group, met at Liberty.
Now we're cooking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Their first concert was in Jerry Falwell Sr.'s backyard, where, you know, the school president, where his son was attending law school at the time. It is without question that Jerry Falwell Jr. was a DC Talk fan. This would have been when he was about 29 that DC Talk sampled Martin Luther King saying, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. So Jerry Falwell Jr., on the day of his downfall, reached for a mighty majestic quote that he hoped would trigger the libs, and the only thing he had was a DC Talk quote. That's the main thing I wanted to say about Liberty.
There's a Jesus freak joke here, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, there's more freak than Jesus. There's a part in that song about watching a man without a shirt.
I was just thinking about that, and I was like, do I want to reveal how many of these lyrics I actually know?
Oh, God. I enjoy, by the way, that we somehow managed to get to DC Talk out of this. That's
subscribe to Vacation Bible School Podcast.
Absolutely.
Up next, we're doing the crossing of the Red Sea. We will convince you that quite possibly almost all of it happened.
Wow.
By the way, listening to Vacation Bible School, see, this is the most I've ever learned about the Bible. There's all kinds of crazy stuff in there.
It's wild.
Yeah, bears eating people.
I like that that's your first thing. Everything that happens in the Bible, you're like, there's a bear? Whoa.
Dude, okay, do you want to know what we did in Bible school? Like, in Bible school?
Yes, go ahead. Please tell us.
And by Bible school, I mean the University of Florida.
Spencer, did you go to CCD?
I did. I did go to CCD.
God. So it just didn't take. Okay.
No, I pointedly remembered. They took me out in the hall and said, okay, you didn't learn what you were supposed to learn today. And I said, what was I supposed to learn today? And they said, you were supposed to learn this. And I was like, what is this? And they said, it's a Bible passage, and we were going to ask you about it. And I was like, you mean I'm supposed to read this? And it pretty much went downhill from there. I got hit on the head by a CCD teacher, non-clergy, volunteer.
Sure.
Oh, outstanding.
With a rolled up CCD workbook, like twice, for being such an asshole in the middle of class. And I refused to apologize because it was the biggest waste of my time ever. However, I did always manage. They would say, can you like select a Bible verse and speak from your heart on it? And my friend Andrew and I would naturally
found all the ones about deer, didn't you?
We found all of the Old Testament ones that were like, so then they had locusts shoved into their eye sockets.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of weird donkey stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Liberty University.
I mean, it does mean freedom.
Yeah. Let's see. So,
speaking of flames, let's talk about what Jerry Falwell Sr. thinks of all this.
Yeah, that's right. Get him. He's in hell. That's where he is.
Just looking up. Looking up. So
we go live to hell to talk to Jerry Falwell Sr. So as Ryan was getting to about this point in the season, as Holly mentioned as well, like this is the time of year when we are very used to having the feeling of like, all right, we have read all of Bill Connolly's previews. We have looked at the Phil Steele magazine. Yes, the first 30 pages of it are the same as the year before, but all the spreadsheets after that are different from the year before.
The font is even smaller.
The font has even more jam-packed with information than it has ever been before. Like, Bud has recited every team's Vegas odds so many times that I could tell you without even looking them up. Like, there is so much information just raring to be, you know, to burst forth, and then the season happens and then it's over. But, like, I haven't looked up a fucking thing. I don't even get the point of like studying up for this season when we don't know if it'll be more than one game.
Well, like in the past week, even besides that, like in the past week, just in the Big 12, TCU had a quarterback who's like, "Yep, I have a heart condition, so I'm not playing this year." And Oklahoma today said. Announced that there was a position group. They wouldn't say which, but they had so many positive tests within the position group that they basically couldn't practice.
Oh, it's defensive lineman.
I mean, they didn't say that, did they?
No, but you know, like which position are basically like completely underneath people all the time and are gross.
Sure. Defensive lineman. I mean, if even besides the like, can these games happen? The way in which they do will make like the whole act of prognostication so incredibly useless compared, like even if it's normally good data and useful information, there is nothing you can look at to be like, well, they're on QB4 and they've got a wide receiver playing guard. So I don't know. Factor that in.
Like at this point in the year, I'm on like, you know, over the course of the last like 7 or 8 years, I'd be on like the third draft of my bowl projections already. And then they'll be updated every week after that. But like, I haven't fucking glanced at the shit. Like, okay, I bet Bama's going to be good, right? Bama's supposed to be good this year. Like, it's just, everything is weird. But the AP poll is out like normal, just trucking along like normal. So we decided to crash course a little bit to get some groupthink wisdom of the crowds in here. So we threw it to our Twitter followers and asked for the single likeliest best reason that each team will have to be ranked number one. And then I went through and created a preseason AP top 20 AP, a preseason top 25 based entirely on those explanations. And I could read through those.
I wish you would.
Please do. So
starting at number 25 from Kivbot on Twitter. Everything is bad. Let's make it worse. Go Vols, baby.
God damn it.
So Tennessee, of course.
Holly, We are 45 minutes into this episode. And I was really hoping to skate away without everyone noticing that the Liberty story dropped just in time to obscure the fact that Tennessee is ranked 25th.
So the only reason I really knew Tennessee was ranked 25th was because of the reaction on this program to Tennessee appearing in rankings. So, like, it made it stick out to my brain. This is very important, you know, like, I should make sure Tennessee shows up 25th here because it's very important, right? So I learned to associate Tennessee with the number 25. So yeah,
it's also their usual down and distance on third down.
It's only going to get worse once all the Big Ten and Pac-12 teams are out of it. And you're like, Tennessee's 11th now.
Wow. Tennessee's 7th. Cause there's only 7 teams left playing football.
Tennessee blowing expectations, despite being one of like 4 teams playing football, would actually be the logical endpoint of how this is all going.
Man. I enjoy this chapter of Tennessee football because Jeremy Pruitt would go, well, yeah, look, we're up to 7. There's only 7 teams playing. Jesus Christ. Like the Jeremy Pruitt.
Take a moment and now Pruitt, I don't believe is canny enough, does not have the requisite raccoon smarts to pull this off. Imagine Randy Edsall in this position and the contract bonuses he could reap therefrom.
Are you saying Randy Edsall's the original golf raccoon of contract perks?
Maybe.
He's just out there like, Seagull! Golf raccoon is there!
$800.
Speaking of, number 24, Iowa by J-A-V-I Trashy, because Iowa is ending the 2020 season in the AP Top 25, so Kirk Ferentz gets a $250,000 bonus, of course. Yeah. Number 23, I like this one from Doghawk on Twitter. LOLOLOL. This person is a Kansas fan, so there's Kansas at number 23.
I'm sold. I'm way more sold on them than anyone else just by that reasoning.
Number 22 from Sam Huppert. The 2020 National Championship is, of course, set to be played on Scott Frost Day. That's true. This is canon. Nebraska's number 22. Mm-hmm. Number 21, Oklahoma from Tommy Snyder. We have a history of taking things before the official start time. Boomer Sooner. Number 20 is Princeton from Jeff Amy on Twitter. I believe the quote, says Jeff, is Princeton claims everything. To be clear, full disclosure, I did go ahead and rank Princeton a little bit higher because Jeff also linked to my blog about the entire history of claimed national championships, in which Princeton, Princeton was the original Bama, by the way. Like, Bama, you didn't invent shit. Like, you didn't invent claiming a title every single year. Princeton did that shit first. But Bama should be in the Ivy League. Maybe let's say that.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with that. By the way, you're not made of stone. If somebody has a flattering link and butters
but
you up.
Bama's campus is, put them in the Ivy League.
See, there you go. Also, Bama's, by the way, in case you go, Bama's a research university now because they have a mobile simian research lab.
Bama's got a car chimp.
They got a car. I believe that's a macaque.
I'm sorry.
I don't think it's a chimp.
I don't have a Bama degree. I can't distinguish wildlife
on site.
Can
you imagine anything more dangerous and beloved than a chimpanzee loose on the Alabama campus? An ape that can rip someone's face off? Do you know... What in Alabama would they respect more? They'd be like, hey, listen, that chimp, he might kill you, he might love on you, but either way, he's fervent about it, okay? And that's what we like. We like you to be, you know, you be hot or cold. Don't
got
be anything in between.
Got a singularity of purpose. Do y'all remember the story about South Alabama research, the very first year of the program under Joey Jones, having to do all their workouts in an abandoned animal testing lab?
Yeah.
And because I was down there talking to Joey, and some of the players came through the office, and some of them referred to the first season. This was the senior class that had been through that whole 4 years with him. And they're like, oh, yeah, in the monkey lab. And I turned around and I was like, why do they keep calling it the monkey lab? And they're like, oh, because we worked out in an abandoned monkey lab.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
Why didn't this turn into some sort of sci-fi thing where they gained like crazy powers by working out the like research monkey lab? Damn it. This is Stranger Things season 7 when they completely run out of ideas and they're like, football players have become huge, powerful mega apes.
It's the True Detective season 2 of Stranger Things.
I'm ready.
So is Vince.
Number 19 from Third Brock from Sun. Baylor is at the top alphabetically of the teams trying to play before they cancel the season officially. Therefore, number 19 is Air Force because they are at the top alphabetically of the teams trying to play.
just going to win the Commander-in-Chief trophy and call it a day. Look,
I like Third Brock for the unselfishness in going ahead and naming someone else's school. If it hadn't been Air Force, it would have been Alabama.
Ryan? Ryan, I have a question.
Yeah.
Have we really thought about the intensity of those two games?
It's also that Air Force has like a month between them while Army and Navy are playing full. So like this is literally all Air Force has to play for. And they haven't won the CIC trophy, I think, in like 4 or 5 years.
Quite a while. Mm-hmm.
So especially for a program that used to win it like all the time. So, yeah, I can't.
Just imagine the logistics. Air Force with all these three schools with all that time to plot.
Pretty much. Like, they're basically playing two bowl games against their two biggest rivals.
Now, do you know that normally the deal with Air Force, what happens to them physically before the season? Are you aware of their training schedule? Like, their actual military training schedule? Okay. So, one of the issues with playing for Air Force football, in the good and the bad sense, prior to the season, for at least 10 days, but I want to say 2 weeks, that entire class goes way up in the mountains in Colorado, like consistently above like 10,000 feet to do training. And they're just up there like running around all day with 60 pounds on their back, eating shit, getting yelled at. And then they come back down and they immediately start fall practice.
Right.
So they roll from that into fall practice.
So many red blood cells.
Right. I know what some of you were saying, which is, oh, so many red blood cells. That's true. Also, you've just been getting the crap beat out of you in the mountains for 2 weeks. That's not going to make anybody better at anything. No one is better after that
experience. What about Rambo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I bet if we got all the Rambos together, they could make a team that could beat the NFL in the Super Bowl.
What about the Predator?
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you're the Predator, that's completely valid. But Dante Hightower.
Oh, that's the University of Nightham mascot.
The Predator?
Yep.
Is it singular?
Sorry, we had yes,
yeah.
Like the car.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, it's definitely Sorry. Singular.
We had a virulent debate about this going over on the Shutdown Fullcast Reddit, and I feel like we've arrived at a significant answer.
By the way, no one's more college football than the Predator, because if you beat the Predator, what do you get? A trophy.
It's true.
You get a trophy out of respect.
A confusing trophy, too.
He gave me a keg of nails? What kind of sick shit is this?
Number 18, Arizona State from Cowgirl Bookworm, because ASU created a spit test. Going to save the world. Arizona State spit.
I will consider it.
Mm-hmm.
Number 17, Clemson from Robert M. Green. Season incomplete. Revert to preseason number one Clemson. I honestly feel like this is the best. Like, this is the best claim to a national title.
It is.
In absence of literally everything else. I think I meant to rank Clemson higher, but everything from here on is pretty compelling.
It is. Wait, certainly... This is certainly the one that will be trotted out.
Are they preseason number? I have not even looked at the actual AP poll other than...
I haven't either, other than to see the 17 people adding me, asking me if I saw the AP poll, which is how I knew not to look.
They are number one just ahead of Ohio State, who is not playing football.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Number 16 from Chris Barnwall, UCF. Haters will say Alabama did it first, but I will say UCF did it better. 2017 and 2020 national champs. I've said this a couple times, but I do feel like it is time to revert the claiming bullshit national title joke from UCF back to Alabama. Like, 2 years was plenty of time to pick on UCF. Like,
also,
okay,
Alabama lost. Did y'all see?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm gonna need details.
I saw.
Later.
We all saw.
Let's go back to the days when claim bullshit was the Alabama joke. That was so much better than picking on the little guy, who, granted, is obnoxious. At number 15, all the other little guys. Jay Von Funkenstein says Boise State has a backlog of unclaimed titles, so we'll just take this one and call it good. Let's throw in TCU, Utah, Marshall, Tulane, Toledo, Arizona State. Back
Toledo.
When they were little guy.
Toledo just slid right in there.
Did you nice. Look at all, little guy?
Hey. Look how many times Toledo's gone undefeated. We're talking about a backlog here. Utah could claim as many as two previous national titles. They're not a little guy now, but I mean, I think if you went to a Utah fan and you say, will you admit you're a little guy if you get to claim an old national title? I just picture them doing like the sweating face meme looking at the two buttons.
We played a power conference!
Man.
If you admit that you have not always been in a power conference, you can claim an old national title.
Toledo.
Just imagine.
Toledo went undefeated three straight years.
That's right. Claim all of them.
1970, yeah. 1971. For their trouble, they got three straight trips to the Tangerine Bowl, and they never got ranked higher than 12th in the final AP poll.
Hey, the Tangerine Bowl for a kid from Toledo in 1970, that is a hell of a trip. Imagine how dismal you're like, skyline of factories and gray smoke, and Les Miles beat me up and put me in a locker every day. Suddenly I get to go to the Tangerine Bowl. Hell yes.
Here are the three teams they beat. They were all three of these Toledo teams were ranked in the top 20 at the time. Davidson, William and Mary, and Richmond.
Yeah, fucked them up too.
Go Spiders.
Number 14, Maryland from J.C. Evans, because Maryland remains unbeaten against the hardest schedule in the country by FPI. Not bad. It's topped by number 13, Arkansas from Luke Hobbs. of Fast and the Furious fame. You cannot deny it to Arkansas when they went undefeated against the most difficult schedule of all time, which was, of course, claimed by Arkansas's AD. And it's not far off. Arkansas's theoretical hypothetical schedule, if football were to actually happen, is
horrible.
It's hilarious.
It's disaster.
Like, not only is it, you know, the full SEC West experience, and not only do you gain Georgia and at Florida from the East, their season would end with a traditional game against Missouri, but that game against Missouri is bookended by LSU and a December game against Alabama. Just
Arkansas. Arkansas' schedule is the TikTok challenge that gets you kicked off of TikTok, right? Like, hey, yo, the Taser Your Nuts challenge. Here we go. Everybody Taser Your Nuts.
Johnny Knoxville's joined TikTok.
I'm excited for Arkansas to start 0-2 and be like, hey, guys, we've been re-looking at this medical data, and we're starting to really question.
You know what they'll do? They'll schedule Central Arkansas, because Central Arkansas is just rabid. They'll play anybody.
Arkansas, fucking do it.
And then they'll put them on, and Central Arkansas will beat them, and they'll go, no!
you want to squeeze in a Central Arkansas dance card, you got to meet them on the purple and gray, brother.
Brother, listen, Central Arkansas is going to play 19 games this year.
We're going
Who's
going to
stop them?
No, it's we're going
those years when Yale played like 20 games.
Yeah. Central Arkansas is just going to go on a train and play 7 games in 10 days.
Central Arkansas calling up like local YMCAs. Y'all got a team. Let's do this.
Do you want to fight?
1899 Suwannee versus 2020 Central Arkansas. The Time Warrior Challenge.
Wake up.
I know it's not necessarily responsible, and I'd like to go ahead and excuse all of this by saying I acknowledge every single caveat that anyone has about playing football in the year 2020. But let me also note, ahead of all this, that UCA's taking on anyone. Anyone.
I'm already
anytime.
Mad about the loss that Tennessee is going to sustain to Central Arkansas.
Everybody's going to lose to them. There's no shame.
I know. I absolutely love these Hilljack, like sub-Ozark Ronin. Just wandering the wastes of the middle of the country.
That is beautiful.
Desperate to take on anyone and their thirst for blood and violence.
This is my favorite description of this team.
Tackle me. Tackle me. This is, I just need to feel alive. Tackle me.
Let's see. Number 12 from our friend Josh Black. What better team to get the accolades associated with being a champion in a year when everything has been ruined for everyone? The Auburn Tigers. However,
strong argument.
I can
however,
see that.
Hey, COVID is all in.
However, Auburn is trumped at number 11 by Minnesota from Jeremy Hansen 15. The only Big Ten team to win a game in 2020. They beat Auburn, an SEC team. At the very least, we should give them the pretend Rose Bowl bid. Minnesota, number 11.
I am confused as to how
another game that everyone saw.
The Big Ten as a whole is having like a series of small meltdowns to the point where parents are like, we're going to go picket outside a Brazilian steakhouse. That's how mad we are. We won't go in. And
we're going to go in.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No,
the cameras
no,
are
you,
off
you
on
see,
the
guys,
inside, George.
Spinach dip is safe to consume because it's been heated to a molten quality that kills all bacteria.
Hey, Cliff, have you had this mofongo? It's incredible. See, it's on the salad bar, but it's not salad. But you get it anyway.
I don't want to hear about the difference between bacteria and viruses, Herm.
Social distancing. See, this rapier that he's serving me prime rib on is 6 feet long.
All the wives return to posting QAnon lyrics under the table on their phones.
I remain confused.
Does QAnon have songs?
Probably.
I just made that up. I'm sorry. Definitely not.
By the time this podcast is done, they will.
Shit. Yeah.
I remain confused that amidst everybody like losing
their shit.
Wait,
sorry, time out. Ryan, sorry, time out. Jason Spencer, who's going to be the first QAnon rapper?
The first? Oh, God. I mean,
I got a real
Ice Cube's already
Nas,
gone, right? Like he's,
Nas.
Nas might be Q, but I think Ice Cube.
He really might.
Really dangerously close.
I possess ancient knowledge. Yeah, like that's yeah. Because Nas has been pretty cool for a while, and everybody's like, "Oh, Nas hasn't done anything embarrassing. It's time."
Yeah. because it's all being posted on. Yeah, it's all being posted on 16 Chan.
Yeah,
okay,
he's
I'm glad
due.
We settled that. Ryan, please continue.
How is PJ Fleck the one who's just like being quiet and calm?
Because he beat Auburn.
Wow.
Well, that's because everyone in an emergency situation is an inverse of their typical self. Therefore, PJ Fleck, who in a moment of placid Pacific happiness where everything's going well, is going to look like a lunatic. All of a sudden, when everything goes weird, remember the weird GoPro. That's why PJ Fleck appears perfectly normal right now. And people like Urban Meyer, you're like, I wouldn't trust that lunatic with anything. Nothing.
I'll also buy for a dollar that the second the Big Ten announced the season was canceled, PJ Fleck put a Peloton in a Faraday cage and was just like, I'm just going to cycle until next fall. You come get me when it's time to play.
Does he have mid with the lightning suits, like casting lightning at the Faraday cage? Tesla coil shooting off. He's like, motivation!
Oh my God, this is PJ Fleck's prestige.
Now I want a Peloton in a Faraday cage. It's your fault, Ryan.
That means
you idiot.
Entire...
I'm going to go buy this and it's your fault.
There's a whole basement full of dead PJ Flecks.
I just keep making more of me. Just putting himself in a copier going, replicate.
Number 10, LSU. Evan Sachs, okay. Who won the most recent national championship in any collegiate sport. You think that'd be a really good argument. Maybe you should be number one. Unfortunately, you're number 10. Number 9, Texas from Sarah Cannon. The defending national champs conference wouldn't let us play, so we took that as forfeiting and claimed it by squatters' rights. LSU scared to play Texas. Texas is back.
Are you telling me that now Texas is biting Oklahoma's move?
Yeah, I was going to say that's more of a Sooners. It's more of a Dirt Bandits move.
Well, Oklahoma can't do nothing about it. They're down there at number 21.
Are you saying, by the way, this is Texas gentrifying Oklahoma's move, which is totally an Austin
thing
to do?
That is much more believable.
Yeah.
Number 8, total coincidence, Texas A&M, one spot ahead of Texas. That doesn't have nothing to see here, folks.
Why, Jason, why did you mention that?
Oh, it's just I was just making sure I had them in order. My eyes went crooked.
I was just curious as to why you brought that up.
Prescott B on Twitter, we, A&M, have already claimed worse. It's true! Texas A&M's history of claiming national titles is downright Alabamian. Let's see. So they were one spot ahead of Texas. All right, okay, good.
And just like in actual national titles, they have as many attempts but way fewer successes.
Also, A&M has claimed the 20XX national title for Jimbo Fisher.
That's
there's
right.
A plaque and everything, so
God,
it's time
right.
to cash in that briefcase.
This is definitely 20XX.
Yeah, we are in 20XX. So is Liberty University.
If you go by fucked up Roman numerals, this is 20XX is 2020.
Oh, I hadn't thought about it even a minute due to the state of the world, but what is happening to Jimbo's hair during this time of lockdown?
I'm afraid that Hair Island has succumbed to the effects of global warming.
I mean, Hair Island is the only safe place to be in the world. The virus hasn't made it that far.
We've never really brought this up because it's an audio format. However, there is a photo of Jimbo Fisher I have shared on several occasions of him in a Texas A&M tracksuit wandering the practice fields looking like he slept underneath a cow carcass. Like he looks bad. He looks very bad. He looks exactly as bad. Some people go, he's got $70 million. He should look a lot better than that. No, dog. Some of us go the Howard Hughes road.
He's looking like he finally has the visage he deserves after decades of being a grown man who insists on being called Jimbo.
I hope he comes out for A&M's first game. Patchy hair, plugs, you know, not taking root, whatever. And just with a straight face is like, yep, I did Locks of Love. I did.
Jimbo is the coach I keep waiting to light up a Marlboro Red on the sideline.
And then slowly eat it.
Yes.
Solid gold Marlboro Red.
Smoking and all, right?
Yeah.
You're going to need a way pricier cigarette there.
Paul Johnson taught me to eat these.
Yeah. Or just, you know, like some sort of, like he has enough money where he can afford the chewing tobacco of the gods. He can afford the chewing tobacco where they go, this is harvested by Tibetan beekeepers who climb vines in Nepalese caves to get
so
only the tenderest
tobacco.
Yes, the bees make this tobacco. The bees are in fact subcontracted. They
the tobacco is made
tobacco.
Of bees.
The
chew
tobacco
a mouthful
is
of
made
bees.
Of bees.
So Jimbo's over there chawing on bees.
Now
he's a man of the people.
Now you're speaking Paul Johnson's language again.
Yeah, he'd be like, "Hey, I've been doing that for free. Just put my face right in the hive, start chewing,
chewing yellow jacket.
Just let him crawl right in. I don't even have to stick my hand in there like I'm Winnie the damn Pooh."
Just, you know what? I can see Gus Johnson joining him in that too. Gus Johnson's a guy who you're like, "Hey, could you put your face in this beehive and just start chewing?" He's like, "Outstanding." Yes.
Oh man, now I miss Gus.
Gus, you with my face in the hive. Call me Papa Bear.
Number seven, a team with, again, a really good argument to be number one. They have already been number one this offseason, though. So, Michigan, let's park you at number seven. Winners, as always, of the Charity Bowl from Johnny Rosen delivers the following: Michigan, because we've already won our first co-Big Ten title since 2004. Which I think that was the single funniest thing I saw.
You know what? It's the most well-researched and legalistic, and I can't think of a better Michigan brand thing. There,
you'll see clearly in subsection 8D that in the event
we don't want to overclaim.
No,
that would be seven. The purview of number six, Alabama, where I think a good 5% of our respondents were Alabama fans saying, "I don't give a shit what you say. We're going to claim it no matter what." So they know.
We are Legion and we are inevitable.
We are aware of our inevitable Legionness. Number five, Notre Dame, MKM41. We joined a conference. That's awesome. Notre Dame joined a conference. Notre Dame, you get the honorary just outside the playoff spot for that because your schedule wasn't tough enough because you play in the ACC. Number four, Pitt.
It's funny because it's true.
Notre Dame's schedule got easier because they joined a conference.
Like, substantially easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four, Pitt, Georgia Tech, and Michigan fans all claim to have won the last pandemic national championship. Georgia Tech, you were the year before. Pitt had the best 1918 claim. Michigan's claim was fair. Pitt, number four in the playoff. I do not want to give Pitt number one. We need to give Pitt the lowest ranking. That is where they're most dangerous. You understand?
Poor claim.
I thought you said Georgia Tech claimed, you know, a last pandemic national championship, and I thought, well, 1990, let's see, 89. Was Hulkamania really that popular in 89?
Man, 1990, it was wild.
Yeah, was it about to run all over me then, or was it just more of a light trot?
I think Hulkamania was wearing down at that point.
Yeah, I was thinking this is more 86 thing, man. Georgia Tech, you're full of shit.
Number three, USC from Scrum Half Vinny. Not a USC fan, doing the honorable thing, but I vote the Natty goes to USC so we can get the headline, USC fires Clay Hilton after 2020 national championship.
This is brilliant.
Number two, Georgia from Nathan J. Lawrence. If we win this one, you can still make fun of us for not really winning one since 1980.
Don't worry, we will.
And number one, of course, several people. The most important school in the country. The one who set all this shit in motion. We go back to Thanksgiving 2019. A young man scores a touchdown, crawls on all fours, cocks a hind leg, pretends to urinate in celebration, swings the result of a rivalry game, resulting in, I forget however many coaches, changing jobs in real life as an actual consequence of a man pretending to pee.
And Mississippi changing its state flag.
Eventually, possibly, somehow, and maybe a roundabout way, resulting in a Confederate flag coming down. That's a heroic dog pee right there.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, number one, count it.
I'm here for it. Like, I can't think of a better – I really can't think of a better team to finish one than in this year than Ole Miss. Because
also,
nothing would
once,
be –
Also, for once, we need to reward them for their behavior.
I like this because the other teams that you have named
– Also, you just gave Lane Kiffin a national championship.
Also, Ole Miss, how can we tell you not to go number one? You already went number one.
If you told Georgia – or Texas, or most of the teams on this list, if you said, like, hey, we're going to give you, like, a share of the 2020 title, they would, like, most of their fans, or at least a good chunk, would be like, man, that shit's not real. If you told Ole Miss you are a co-champ of 2020, like, they're going to tear the goalpost down. They're going to, like, absolutely. They're going to be like, yeah, fuck you, State. You know, yes, we run this shit. Absolutely. They will. No, there will be no shame. There will be no part of them that says, like, well, technically, no. Not at all. They will embrace it for what it really is.
And that's as good a reason to give it to them as any, because there are several other schools on this list who have plausible cases that they've made for this, but who I don't want to hand it to do just because I don't want to hear all their, well, I don't want to hear all their Sam the Eagle rumblings about, oh, we should have earned this. I don't know how comfortable I am with this. No, no. Take the Ole Miss approach in this one thing only.
Yeah. Not in everything, but...
I want to bring Ryan into the Florida fan.
Put up guardrails.
Oh, God.
I want to bring Ryan into the Florida fan bubble of truth here. Okay, and I'm sitting here.
We already talked about Tennessee. Do we have to do this, too?
So what are Holly and I doing while y'all do this?
I'm playing Animal Crossing and have been this entire time.
Okay, I'm just gonna look at trees. Go ahead.
I'm actually doing the same thing in Animal Crossing.
Why don't you watch aghast while we have this discussion?
Can I go hang out with Jason?
No, you're in the cone of silence.
No, brother, you're in that life. You're all in.
No, remember,
you're in Spencer's cone of silence. Where
this is your job,
weirdly,
buddy.
The cicadas are louder.
No, the dark mark of Ron Zook's face on your forearm is lighting up right now, and I know you must obey it. So you're inside the Florida fan cone of silence with me.
Okay. Yep.
And I have a proposal on the table that the committee
hang
has
on,
given us
for how
2020 is going to work, and it's this: that either Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin can win the least legitimate national title of all time,
sure,
or Florida can win it. You and I are determining this, okay? And if we can't deadlock. We have to come to an accord, okay?
Do we have to discuss this, or are we like, is this like a prisoner's dilemma thing where we both have to say it, and if we both agree, like
no, we can discuss it. We can discuss
Florida has a lot of different prisoners.
Because
Florida really the kind of place where you discuss things before you do them?
Yes, it is. Because
you have to ask questions like, did you bring the fireworks?
Yeah.
No, wait. You answered your own question. Prison is never a dilemma in Florida.
How?
Correct.
It's just like Tuesday.
So now you and I are sitting here, and I'm going to go ahead. I will beat the prisoner's dilemma to the punch by saying I would go ahead, and in this cone of silence and secrecy, I'm going to go ahead and award this to Ole Miss strictly for the comedic value, because I'm pretty sure that Florida at one point will put together another national title. I don't think Ole Miss ever will. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and let this happen so that Ole Miss fans, right, all 7,000 of them on this planet, can ride as hard as they possibly can for a coach who, when he accepts it, is going to go, I don't know, I gained like 30 pounds this year and I only have 8 girlfriends. Go Rebs.
Also, I'm going to go coach the Los Angeles Rams now.
I'm going to go coach the Rams now.
By the way, Marshall Henderson is on Ole Miss's basketball staff now. So,
and the way they announced it was not like, hey, here's Marshall Henderson.
Yeah,
here's
it was not, look at this fine, upstanding young man who is now wearing a necktie. No, they gave him like fucking Slim Shady on the intro video.
Yeah.
How did they get him into a necktie?
I don't think they've done that.
Maybe
I mean,
they've
like
tattooed
physically.
One on him.
Yeah.
How did you?
Okay.
How did you sink a yacht on a recruiting trip? So thing was,
got
what
the
happened
signature.
Was,
got the signature.
It's like a slap bracelet, but it's a tie.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a great idea. Hang on. Can we scrub that from the episode and actually release that?
I don't want
anyone stealing that idea.
Podcast business idea. Yeah.
It's podcast business, by the way. Let's fire that up about an hour and a half into the show. Subscribe
Spencer,
to mooncrew.substack.com.
Podcast business.
That's
podcast business.
That's
podcast. What's a business?
No, we're
it's
going.
A business.
It's
on
a business.
The podcast. Marshall Henderson, Ty, you throw it around his neck and he goes, ah, that slapped.
Subscribe to mooncrew.substack.com, where Spencer, me, Alex Kirshner, and Richard Johnson do a couple newsletters a week and maybe other stuff. We're still figuring it out. If you have bought Sinful 7, our ebook, Western, about the history of college sports and associated Western stuff, please read it. I've gathered from this process that people read at very, very different paces, so that's totally fine. Take your time. Enjoy it. It's really good. But, like, Maybe what I'm looking for is like I want more of a sense of like how far along we are. Give us a progress note. How about that? If you are reading the Sinful Seven, let maybe me and Spencer know how far along you are in it, just so we can get a sense of where people are. How does that sound, Spencer?
Tell us what chilling familiarities you've spotted.
If you have finished it, maybe tell a friend.
Yeah, chilling familiarities. Everything. Pretty much everything.
No, she's asking the audience, not you.
Oh, okay. God. Spencer. God. Hey, Spencer, when you were writing this ebook, did you notice anything seem familiar?
Not a thing. Why do you
just
ask?
Just checking.
That's why they call it fiction.
Thanks, Dory.
There's Spencer, I agree with you. We should give this title to Ole Miss for two reasons. One, the SEC will be spiteful as shit and insist that Ole Miss did not win the conference. And so you will have the unique circumstance of Ole Miss not having a conference title for a year in which they won the national championship. More importantly, somewhere someone will write a 400-page, extremely serious, extremely like grit and determination mm-hmm. history book of the Ole Miss 2020
the 2020
championship yep. football
team,
season.
Team yeah. of destiny.
478 pages sold in airports everywhere about a season that didn't fucking happen.
Like Lane yeah. Kiffin's face and the title's like, Spirit of a Conqueror. The faith that moved mountains.
Conquistador.
Oh, no. You need something. This is Mississippi, right? So you need something like Riverin. You need something like, you know, and a great flood did come.
Oh yeah. Well, you got to have some like devil Delta Lane.
Yeah, no, yeah. You need some of that. Yeah.
It's Lane looking coquettishly back over his shoulder at a urinal, and it's like a river runs through it.
I want the 2020 Ole Miss National Championship retrospective book to be written by someone from New York City. Can we get that?
I want John Bacon to write it.
Yeah, I want someone from New York to write it, but to have never gone to Mississippi and
yes,
only
exactly.
do it based on Mississippi in films, right? Like sweaty and covered in Vaseline, Lane Kiffin relaxed on the porch in his white suit.
Down there on the humid fiddle. Where they
no,
say
that's,
the mosquito.
That's the title, Down There on the Humid Fiddle.
Where the mosquitoes. No Bible verses.
Mama was dead, and I didn't feel so good myself.
A donkey was his mama.
We went to the lunatic asylum to watch them change their sheets for the day. This was our Netflix.
It was hotter than Jerry Falwell sitting in the corner.
The devil swam by in the humid air.
I had dirt on my blue collar and blood under my fingernails.
One other piece of podcast business, Ko-Fi.com/mooncrew. Ko-Fi, I don't know. For full cast, newsletter, etc., tips, donations, we have a couple starting ideas as possible perks for monthly boosters. Booster feels like a really – that's a football term. It's a moon term. That's boosters, sure. Just wanted
does
to
that
float.
Mean you can the NCAA can force somebody to disassociate with y'all?
I hope so.
I mean, that would be – to their benefit
be
if
awesome.
The NCAA were to step in. Yeah. I just wanted to float the idea of as a potential booster item. Maybe a Discord. Maybe where we do a little bit of bring back a little bit of Saturday Cannibal Slack, a little Sinful Seven book club, a little Twitch streaming, maybe mm-hmm. some movie TV watch along type stuff. Just let us know what y'all think. Let us know if that would be maybe something you might like.
Maybe you get access to the prototype videos of the slap tie.
Maybe get a percent discount when home field releases SlapTie. SlapTie.com.
Maybe you get some hot videos of disastrous actual tests of the SlapTie on poor, unwitting
subjects. Let's be real. This is a .net.
Watch Spencer beheaded by SlapTie.
I'm gonna check. Because
what a way to
we can't even get one around Spencer's neck. It's going to have to be like rebar.
we had this conversation.
We tied together two slap ties.
We determined that Spencer has worn a tie once in the last 10 years?
Yeah, it was at Holly's wedding.
Yeah. Slaptie.com
is
available.
To be fair, I made him wear a tie, but I also asked him to shave his mustache into a bootlegger's friend for the ceremony, and he did that, and I appreciate it.
So I asked my wife when I have last worn a tie, and the best we could come up with was 2006. I am in need of slaptie.com.
It's man. Available. Slaptie.com is available.
.net. This is a .net operation. Not, let's be honest with ourselves.
.biz.
I don't feel like
this,
we're ready this, for .biz.
This is a new thing. So this is a new thing Google Domains is doing. When you go and you're like, hey, I want to like see if this domain is available, it now gives you advantages and considerations. Here are the advantages.
Oh, no. Oh,
this no. This name has a popular ending, .com, and this name isn't too long. I agree with both of those. Mm-hmm. The considerations. People might hear Thai, T-H-A-I, instead of Thai, T-I-E, and type
so we're
the
starting
name.
A restaurant.
Yep. And my favorite, I swear to God, this is real. This name might be too similar to slate.com.
Oh, sold.
So we're starting a so we're going to sell slap bracelet neckties. We're going to start a Thai restaurant.
And Joel Anderson works for us now.
Yes.
Sorry, Joel.
We will start making good podcasts is what we'll do. can I do real quick just eyeballing it, bowl projections based on this top 25?
Oh, God.
I haven't done it. I haven't done it all year.
You're just scratching your weird itch. That's cool.
Yeah, man. Just like Jerry Falwell. Actually, no, he's not.
He's watching
not. Well,
you.
He is today. He
I'm
is
Jerry
today.
Falwell. I'm watching you scratch your weird itch.
Okay, got it. As long as we're all clear on the arrangement, then. So this year, here's
where
what really pisses
where two
me
or
off.
More are gathered, Jerry Falwell's in the
Jerry
corner
Falwell
watching.
Jerry Falwell is there in his own name. So I looked at this. This is a Rose Sugar playoff year, which really pisses me off. This is the good rotation, and we won't get that. We won't get the Rose Sugar. We'll be right back to the bullshit year where it's like the playoffs on December 26th, you know, that type of shit. But Rose and Sugar semifinals, those are easy. Number 1, Ole Miss versus number 4, Pitt, very normal. Number 2, Georgia versus number 3, USC, standard, typical. Cotton, you're going to take the top SEC team. That would be Bama. Against top Big 12 team, that would be Texas. All right, Bama, Texas, Cotton Bowl. Boom. Let's see. The orange, we're going to need ACC, top ACC.
Is that Notre Dame?
Pretty far down there. Oh, yeah, that's Notre Dame. Excellent. That's Notre Dame. And so then that would be top ACC against the next team from the Big Ten slash SEC slash Notre Dame. So it's Notre Dame versus Notre Dame. Perfect. The Peach Bowl
at
large.
I love inter-ACC competition.
Notre Dame spring game.
Hey,
that
Notre
is
Dame
our...
just strengthened its own schedule.
I mean, when Notre Dame goes to Miami, great things happen. As Steve Bannon was in the news, and that reminded me of his tweet about Notre Dame going to Miami and beating Alabama.
God,
Steve Bannon, full of great ideas.
The perfect tweet, by the way. I think it's great. It's like hashtag like Breitbart Sports. Yes. Shake down the echoes. And then there's nothing. There's nothing for another like 6 months.
I just want that. I just really hope that is the only Breitbart Sports tweet that ever happened. Like, well, Breitbart Sports has been canceled.
Info Sports.
Thank you, Bama.
Let's see. Peach Bowl. Let's see. Let's go. I mean, we could go A&M. They haven't been there in a while. Maybe we throw. So how about A&M LSU? We want that game to happen.
God,
let's make sure it happens. And then Fiesta Bowl. Michigan is our top at large, and they would have to face a non-power Michigan Boise State Fiesta Bowl. All right.
They're going to lose that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel better now. Thank you. Thank you for letting me do that.
Yeah.
Michigan on the big stage? When has that ever gone wrong?
This is not the big stage, I assure you.
It's called Spencer. It's called the Big House.
Oh wait, I just realized, bowl reps are still gonna figure out a way to like travel and shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
they're 100% gonna be like, well, we know, like, you know, it would be irresponsible not to earn Marriott points while we determine if somebody's gonna be playing.
This will finally be the year we top the greatest bowl rep trip of all time, which was the Pinstripe Bowl team turning up at LSU Bama.
This is the year where bowl reps go everywhere they would usually with no games happening, but then appear on a Zoom call from the hotel. So there's somebody There's somebody who is on like a remote Hawaiian boutique hotel's Wi-Fi on a Zoom going, we just had to check out the Warriors. Just had to see how it was going. They look great. They look great on this old footage that I'm watching from a resort in my colored jacket. So it's a business expense.
I do like that the playoff committee, A, will continue, at least they said a couple weeks ago, they're going to meet in person, which, sure, entirely unnecessary. If you scroll through who is who's on the playoff committee, A, the chair is Iowa AD Gary Barta. There's an Arizona State professor on here. There's the AD at Wyoming. There's the AD of Colorado. There's Ronnie Lott, sure. USC. Like, there are all these people who it's like...
bunch of old guys?
Yeah, pretty much.
We got any war criminals this year? Or did they finally let Gandhi go?
Is R.C. Slocum a war criminal? Did we ever settle that?
Probably.
Okay.